Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Hustlers. Actually, it's Film Hustler this week. Davey Dave is off, and so is Rod Tootie Rinks. I am broadcasting from Toronto, Canada. I'm producing a film called Meet Me Next Christmas out here, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm on my last week, so I'll be coming back, and the gang will be together very soon. But I wanted to broadcast from the set. I wanted to do an interview with a really interesting assistant director who's also a filmmaker, and his sort of struggles and how he sort of handles it is pretty interesting to me, so I think you guys would find it interesting. I wanted to remind everyone what our podcast is about. It's about filmmaking. It's about not being stopped if you're a content provider, making sure you're always working hard to get your projects done. There's so many different ways to do it these days. It's not like the old days where you just had a couple of studios and a couple of networks. Now you've got streamers and networks, all kinds of different ways to get your projects done. And here at Film Hustlers, we think the best thing to do is to inspire and to have conversations with people that are at the highest level of the industry and also just breaking in. Today we're gonna have a cool interview and I think you guys will enjoy it. And I just wanna remind you to rate us, review us when you can, because it helps the podcast grow. Leave comments on our IG if you can. That would be greatly appreciated. And just tell your friends about it, because we're excited to be doing it. The Film Hustlers actually made a movie this year. It's a short. We're almost done with it. Hopefully, we'll be having a screening soon. Anyway, let's get into it. All right, so we're coming to you live from the set of Meet Me Next Christmas here in Toronto, Canada. If you hear noises, because we got a crew of 70. And anyway, we're making a movie and I wanted you guys to hear interviews of real people working on films here on the set. And I've got Earthwind Davis. Now, I met Earthwind Davis because he's working on the show, You're an AD. Now, assistant directors, there's lots of them on this movie. We're making a Christmas movie here in Toronto. Where are you from?
I'm from Toronto, Ontario, born and raised.
So Earthwind I met because I was working on the set and I noticed he was around the tent where I was sort of supervising, keeping people quiet, and we started talking and I realized that he's a filmmaker. How did you get into the film industry?
So it was a little weird. I started out actually doing urban design. I did go to university, but I was always into, doing creative stuff. I was a creative writer. I was into creative arts, did a lot of, wanted to get into animation at first. And then basically I ended up working for my first year in urban design. Felt like it wasn't for me. I was just not happy with kind of like doing that kind of work. For the very first job that I got was at City of Toronto, and they stuck me in policy and research. It was like the worst soul sucking job I ever had. And then I was like, I have to do something that I'm passionate about. And so since I had already done a lot of creative writing in school and taken a lot of like fine arts courses, I actually had written a bunch of scripts in my free time. And so when I graduated, I took the money I had made from co-op and I started making film. And that's really how I got into it.
Dude, that's amazing. So Earthwind was working as an AD on the movie. I ran into him, we were talking, and he pitched me a couple of his movie ideas. And I said, oh, that's pretty interesting. You know, there's people on the set that are here from Netflix. And he started talking to them, kind of creating an opportunity. I guess for people who are listening, like I heard you talking to someone the other day about that when you hear of certain directors being on certain movies, that you try to get on those movies. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. One of the best things that I think I've ever heard, best piece of advice, was Conan O'Brien when he was like quitting when his show was over at Comedy Central. He was like, if you really, really want to get into film, or you want to be a writer, if you want to be a director, really, you just have to get close to the people who are doing things that you love, and the kind of like just try and work in their zone. Anything that's like in their periphery, like that you can kind of, any way you can get close to the action, work in that area, and you'll get closer to your dreams. And that's kind of what I've always tried to do. Anyone who is like a director or a writer or a producer creates any kind of movies that I really, really like. I just, would always try and work on those sets and try and get on those sets and be as close to the director as possible.
And did you get on, like for instance, Rusty Cundiff is our director.
Yeah.
He was a guy that worked with Chappelle, which I found very impressive.
Yep.
Did you know that our director had worked with Chappelle?
Yeah, so that was, exactly. So just Chappelle's always been an inspiration of mine. I love, you know, I've been watching his stand-up for years, watched his show. And then we have this thing called the Hot List here in Canada. So anytime there's productions that happen anywhere in Ontario, we can kind of go down this list. And I'll just, you know, I'll do some research, kind of go through what's happening in, you know, if there's any movies, if it's features or if it's a television show, kind of see who's there. And I saw Rusty's name and I was like, okay, well, he's worked on Chappelle's show. You know, this guy might have something, it might be, have some insights into directing, into talking to actors. There's something that he could probably help me with in it that I probably could use in my career. And so, you know, I just came here to kind of work and it worked out great.
I have some pull with the director. Maybe I can get you a meeting.
Oh, that would be awesome.
but yeah, I like that. I think people can learn something from what you're saying. We're going to come back to Earthwind. In the meantime, I'm going to talk to you guys about, our sponsor, extrememusic.com, and we'll be back with Earthwind in a couple of minutes.
Speaking of extrememusic.com, if you haven't checked them out, you should. If you're a producer, you're a director, content provider, whatever it is you do, if you need music, which we always need music for our stuff, right? That's the place to go. And I'll say this, on every one of my films, I've used extrememusic.com, and it's been amazing because in some cases, you know, I'm doing a big opening. I have a credit title sequence at the beginning of my films. I have gone to Extreme Music and I have used one of their library music cues to open the film, to run my credits over. Sometimes I use them for the end and I run my end credits over a song. And then in the body of the movie, you know, there's a diner or there's a specific dance or there's an emotion between my two lead characters that has to sort of be bridged by a beautiful song that has the right lyrics. I've been able to find everything right there on extrememusic.com. Russ Emanuel is a genius and he's put together a really, really easy to use, very well priced website that helps us all. And you know, look, from Netflix to Fox to Universal to even the indies, everybody uses extrememusic.com. Check them out. They're the best in the biz. And believe me, if you can't find it there, you won't find it.
All right, so we're back with Earthwind. Am I saying your name right, Earthwind?
Yeah, that's right.
Where did that come from? Just to let some people listen. Like, that's such a unique name. I want to make sure people understand where it came from.
Yeah, so Earthwind is like, I mean, that's just my name. I was born with it, but like, it's when you're born, basically, your parents usually tend to take, from my culture, they usually take like certain names or letters, sounds that are supposed to be prosperous astrologically, and they kind of put it together, and sometimes they're actual names that exist and sometimes it's just becomes the name like Earthwind.
No kidding. I mean, it's a cool name if you think about filmmakers and their names. Yeah. Like, that's a cool filmmaker name.
Yeah I mean,
like, if you see it on some action movie or some Marvel film, Earthwind, directed by Earthwind, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's my goal is to have like a, you know, like a Spike Lee joint. I want to be like an original design by Earthwind.
That's awesome. So that's interesting. So let me ask you this. So sure. What is the ultimate goal here? Like, you know, we talk about it on the show a little bit, like there's different ways to become a producer, different ways to become a director. Some people produce their way through the AD department, you know, into, you go from AD to line producer to UPM or vice versa. Right. Then you end up as executive producer because they can't live without you. Or you just go directly to directing from nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's how that works. But what's your goal? Like, what's the ultimate plan for you?
You know, I kind of was trying to figure out a way into the industry when I first started. So I was doing a lot of freelance writing. I started out just getting into writing and directing and just like learning about the craft. But once I got into the union, now that I'm an assistant director, you can kind of aspire to kind of go to the top of assistant directing, in which, you know, I just don't feel like there's enough creativity there in terms of like my skills and what I want to do. And it's really just mine is actually in directing and in writing. Like, I feel like I have, when I write, I'm a very visual writer, and my skills are in visual arts. So basically when I see shots, I can imagine the shots. I'm a very imaginative writer. So I feel like one of the things I wanted to perfect before I got into directing was working with actors and like really learning how to talk to them and use the correct language. So I did a lot of research into how to do that. A lot of people said you had to act. I actually worked at a place called Armstrong Acting Studios here in Toronto. A lot of famous Canadian talents, basically, that went through the Canadian television circuit would go through this. Hannah Montana, actually, Billy Ray Cyrus, when he was performing here, I think, early 90s. Miley Cyrus was a kid, and she went to Armstrong Acting Studios. A lot of them came through there. So I worked with a lot of those actors and actresses and just absorbed as much as I could from, like, the acting coaches. And it's helped a lot in my writing. It's also helped a lot in me understanding how to direct actors. And I think that's what I was trying to mention a little earlier about talking to Rusty and just kind of seeing how he communicates with the actors. Sometimes it's like in your mind you have an idea of how, you know, a joke or how a line might go or how you may want to motivate an actor. But until you find someone who's similar to you or has a sense of humor that's similar to yours and kind of talks to an actor and you can see it firsthand, it makes a little bit more sense, kind of, like, you know. So I think that's kind of the goal. Like,
it's a crazy thing because sometimes you just have to jump in, you know, make it happen.
Yeah.
So what's the next steps, do you think, for you as a director? You're really a writer, director, producer. You know, we talk about it on the show all the time. Like, there's really no lines. You know, when I was coming up in producing, you had to pick producing or directing. You had to pick one of them.
Right.
Because there wasn't a lot of people doing everything. And now it's all about content.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter if you're directing or producing or doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a value to being able to do it all. So for you, what's your next step? Like, are you going to be writing and presenting those scripts? Are you going to be raising your own money? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah. So I spent a little bit of time, actually, you know, when I was first doing it, like I said, it was all about, you know, being a slash producer, just putting together everything, writing your stuff, casting your stuff, like shooting your movies, like making the movies was pretty much my formal education. Like, I had to get out there, write my scripts, produce my scripts. I had to see it happen, see it all come together to really get an understanding of directing. Now it's really about taking that to the next level. And I've started to, you know, apply for, I just recently applied to a CFC program. CFC is the Canadian Film Center here in Toronto, which, you know, basically helps emerging artists, connect them with, you know, people in the union, essentially, and gets them to work with higher level talents. And that's really, I think, sharpening my skills as a director. I just really need the opportunity to get out there and direct more. I also, like I said, because I want to be a writer director, writing has always been a passion of mine. I'm always creating things. I'm always writing. So yeah, pitching those scripts and seeing if, you know, I can be attached to those as a writer and a director, or just a writer, is really where I'm trying to go. It's tough because I didn't have a formal education in this, so like really getting myself out there and talking to as many people as I can and getting as much information has been just, it's been a full-time job. That's been the goal.
Well, that is the goal, right? You and I talked a lot about this. It's about sort of pitching yourself and making people believe in your plan, making people believe in what you want to do and what you're writing and your vision as a director, as a producer, as a content creator.
Right.
So, well, I mean, look, you're doing all the right things. You met me, you met Netflix executives, you met the director, you're making a bunch of connections. I think it's about getting your stuff out and never giving up and always, you know, looking for an opportunity. And I think you're doing that. So thanks for joining me on the show. Really appreciate it. We're out here in Toronto, Canada, doing Meet Me Next Christmas. Earthwind is a director, writer, and he's working here as an AD, but making his contacts and gonna make his dreams come true. He can make it happen right from here, right
from
the set. Yeah, man, thanks for talking.
That's a pretty cool guy, Earthwind. You know, wishing you all the luck. Like I said, we met on the set. He was ADing. He had his ideas. We started talking about, you know, what they are, his scripts. You know, a person with a lot of great ideas, wants to be directing, writing, producing. And, you know, that goes for a lot of people on the set. It's not just Earthwind. It's like, you know, there's people in art department. There's people in camera. There's people working in locations that are filmmakers, assistants that want to be producers, that want to be directors. It's a beautiful thing because everyone has stories that they want to tell, especially if you're on a set. You know, I think you get inspired by movies. You get inspired by executives that come supervise the films and come up with ideas. You get inspired by directors who are doing their thing and communicating with you and giving you advice about how to move into your future. And I think we all have the same goal, and that is to entertain, you know, to come up with great ideas. And, you know, how do you get those made? That's the big question, you know. How do you take an idea and get it to a studio or a streamer or both, and or even an investor, and have them believe that you're going to make a good product, and then you make a good product. And then you move on into a career that pays you and puts food on the table for you and your family through film and television and content. I think that's an ongoing conversation that we all are having all the time, is how do you do that? You know, it's weird because I think as I, you know, as I work on movies and TV series and spend my time producing product, and it comes out and people either like it or they don't like it. It's fascinating because I think a lot of times we as filmmakers don't always believe in ourselves 100%. You believe you have a good idea, you pitch it. Maybe your elevator pitch is not great. And an elevator pitch is something that you can tell like in a, you know, minute or less. I've had a couple of really good ones, and I keep telling people, I go, you got to practice. You got to practice selling yourself. Investors in film don't always invest in the film or the idea. If they like the idea, that's great, but they love you, right? They love your ideas and where you're going and where your head's at. So as a filmmaker, you have to sell yourself. You have to tell people why what you're doing is great, why what you're doing is clever, why it's going to break through. And investors invest in a person, not always a piece of property or a script. So you have to practice, you know. Sometimes I'm practicing with my friends, you know, I'm practicing my pitch on them, and they'll turn around, they'll say like, are you pitching me something? Like, and I am, you know. Sometimes I'll get so used to practicing my pitches that I'm just having lunch with someone and, you know, I'll start talking about a project, or I'll start talking about something I want to do, and I'm seeing what the response is going to be to my pitch. And that's an important part of being ready for when you go into someone's office to pitch them an idea, or when you go to lunch with an investor to pitch him an idea or her an idea, to get them enrolled in who you are as a filmmaker, as a, you know, as a content creator. That's a practice thing. It doesn't just happen. You know, a good example of getting phone calls back, or getting someone to tell their bosses about your idea, is getting that really sharp pitch together. You know, I've had a couple of them in the past that have really worked well for me. Like, I'll give you an example. I used to call companies to pitch this one script called Rock Me Amadeus, which I'm a big fan of. And it's about a teenager who out of nowhere one day starts playing the piano, and classical piano at that. He realizes he can play everything he hears. So the classical music world gets really interested in this kid because he's on YouTube and he's getting a bunch of hits, and everyone's fascinated by a kid who didn't play is now all of a sudden playing. And classical music adopts him and tries to get him to be the reincarnation of Mozart Amadeus. So it becomes a big marketing ploy, and the script takes off from there. And that used to be my elevator pitch for a script called Rock Me Amadeus. And people would get really interested, right? Because it's kind of clever that a kid starts to play piano out of nowhere, and that classical music, being where it's at, needs a hero, needs someone to bring attention to that world. So the script became interesting to people when they read it. I never got it made, but that pitch always worked, and I always wondered why. And it's just because there's a fantasy element, something that you don't see every day. And you have to think about your pitches. Jurassic Park, I imagine that would have been a really great elevator pitch. You know, here's my story. It's a scientist extracts DNA from a dinosaur bone, and he creates a park, and the dinosaurs get out of the park, and, you know, the rest is history. So, I mean, that pitch alone, like I probably told that in 10 seconds, is fascinating, right? You get really interested. You're like, what the heck did he just say about dinosaurs? And I think that high concept is a great area for young filmmakers to sort of live in, because it's quick, it's understandable, really in a short phrase, in a paragraph, you can get your story out. People could understand what you're saying really quickly. If you have something really interesting happening to your characters, they're reincarnated, they're traveling in time, they're, you know, whatever is happening in your story, if you can make it fantastic, then people get very interested very quickly. And if it's easy to tell, then they're able to tell their bosses or the person that they know who has a lot of money who wants to get into film, or a studio head that, you know, I spoke to Mark and he has this great idea for a movie and here it is, and they're able to translate it. So I think that there's a lot to be said for high concept ideas that are easy to understand so that someone can help you sell those projects to their bosses, you know, to people that have a checkbook, to studios that are looking for something unique and different. I also think it's important that you realize that when you go into a pitch or you go into an interview, that it's as important for the person across from you to see value in you for them than for you to always want something in that meeting. You know, I used to go into meetings and I used to be like, I really need this job, or I really need to sell this, or, you know, it was always about me. So I think when it started shifting for me was when I was going into meetings knowing that I'm selling myself so that that other person could see value for them in hiring me. So if they hire me, they get to tell their bosses, hey, I'm going to hire this guy, and he's going to make us look good, or he's going to make me look good, or whatever that is. But I think there's a value in going in and giving them the interview that's going to make them feel like, wow, if I hire you, I'm going to look good. You're going to get me a promotion because you have unique ideas, because you have different ideas, because you're reliable, like, what, you know, whatever you want to call it. But there's a lot of value there too. So I think that, you know, as I'm on the set here, meeting all these people and seeing, you know, young people getting their start, having all these dreams, it's exciting because it's, you know, every 10 years the business changes. There's new ways to sell product, new ways to make movies and television and content. There is innovation. Every once in a while you see a show like Squid Game, which I recently streamed. I thought it was terrific. It was different, unique. You know, there's lots of good stuff out there. There's lots of good stuff in your mind. There's lots of good scripts that you're thinking about picking up and writing. Just remember, the easier they are to understand, if you can tell those stories in 30 seconds or so, like, and have people understand what your pitch is really quickly, then you probably have a pretty good movie or a pretty good product. It's all about being able to tell your story quickly and efficiently and not relying on the idea that, oh, you have to hear this whole story and this whole backstory of this person to understand why something happens. I'm not a big fan of those kinds of ideas because, I don't know, maybe it's because I've grown impatient as a filmmaker or as even a viewer. And I just want ideas to be really concise and quick and easy to understand so that I can get to the characters doing whatever they're doing. One thing I did do on the movie I'm working on now, Meet Me Next Christmas, is I had this idea that I wanted to really focus on the last 30 minutes of the script, last 30 minutes of the movie. It was really important, right? Because you start your movie and you get to know your characters. And then in the middle of the film, the middle 30 pages, you get into a little trouble, right? There's some big situations where your characters get into trouble, or they get into they get into a situation where they have to solve something. And then the last 30 pages are a race to the end. Are they going to fall in love? Are they going to solve the problem? Are they going to get the money? Like, it's always something. So I think one of the things that really worked for me this time is I put all 30 pages of the final part of the script up on my board, and I would look at them every day. And I'd think about, are we racing to the end? Is there anything stopping us from having momentum so that the audience gets to it? You know, because by the last 20 pages, 10 pages, which is about 10 minutes, last 10 pages, about 10 minutes, you want to get to the resolution because you've been watching this movie for a long time. You kind of know where it's going and you want to have like this great resolution at the end. So I think there's value in looking at your product, making sure it's got some high concept ideas, easy to pitch, and then when you finally get to do it, that you make sure that your last 25, 30 pages are racing to the end so that you come to the resolution and everyone's satisfied with the 90 minutes of movie they just watched. And it's not hard to look at your pages and to think, oh, this scene could move faster, or that's a redundant scene. I sort of already saw that one before. You know, anything that's going to interfere with the forward movement and new information at the end is going to help your movie have momentum and really motivate someone to want to make it. Anyway, I miss the guys. I don't have Dave. I don't have Rod Tootie Rinks with me, but I'm going to be back in LA soon. Looking forward to getting the show back together. As I mentioned before, we do have a movie that we did called Beautiful Darkness, starring Emilio Rivera, Pepe Serna, Richard Livingston, Efren Figueroa. Sorry, I didn't want to forget him. And, you know, we'll probably have a screening soon, so we'll be inviting everyone who listens to the show, I hope. I know y'all can't come, and we probably can't afford to put rent a theater big enough. So, you know, maybe we'll open it up, have some people come out, people that live in L.A., And the only other thing is recommend the show to your friends. Make sure you review us or at least rate us. We'll keep doing our thing. Hopefully you get inspired. If you have any questions, you can always IG us. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back to you next time on Film Hustlers.